I'm Steve Cheney, and I'm the CEO of the American Security Project, and I want to welcome everybody to today's conference call and release of the Climate Security Report for 2012. The American Security Project was founded in 2006 on the premise that there were several issues that relate to our national security but weren't receiving the education or attention that they rightly deserved, and of course one of those issues was climate change. And we've been on that issue ever since 2006, and it's been an important and a big one for us. We're pleased today to have with us Governor Christine Todd Whitman, who's been on our board for several years and, of course, an advocate about climate change. And, in fact, last year we put out a report called Pay Now, Pay Later, which talked about the impacts of climate change on every state, to include New Jersey. Perhaps a little prescient, it talked about what exactly happened in New Jersey this past weekend, as well as New York. With that, I'm going to talk for a second about our climate security report, and I've had several questions about what's new, what's different, what do you have in here that people haven't put out before. And, of course, a lot has happened on climate change since 2006, since our inception, and, of course, a lot's happened since 2011 as well. We detail all these events in our report, and we relate it to national security. Now, some have said that are you aiming at any particular candidate during the campaign? And no, we are not. We are a nonpartisan organization. Although we like to feel that climate change should have a stronger place in both campaigns today, this is an issue that's not going to determine what happens next Tuesday. But I'd like to say what happens next Wednesday ought to be just as important, that it ought to be an influence on whoever gets elected in the next administration, that they ought to look at climate change. And certainly a bellwether for that was what happened this past weekend. We're honored today to have Governor Whitman with us. Of course, she's the former governor of New Jersey from 1994 to 2001. She was the former administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency from 2001 to 2003. Currently president of the Whitman Strategy Group, also co-chair of the Republican Leadership Council. With that, Governor, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate everyone who is on the call, given all that's going on right now. And I think, as we know, there is no reputable scientist who will say that Sandy was a direct result of climate change. However, Sandy's devastation, the fact that it's the second 100-year storm we've had in 14 months in this part of the country, tells you that something is changing. And I believe, you can double-check it, but I believe it was Ronald Reagan who first put climate change on the radar screen of the National Security Council as something that about which we needed to be concerned, because what you're seeing, I mean, what scientists will tell you, one of the outcomes of rapidly changing climate is more severe, more frequent storms, droughts, floods. They can't tell you where or when, but those are the things that occur. And when you look at that and you understand the impact that has on people, when you have devastating droughts, as we've seen in the Midwest, as we've seen in Sub-Sahara, it's around the world, and that has an impact and implication for us as our military has to decide how are they going to respond to these things. What do we do? The Navy did exercises this summer to decide what their mission would be as the Bering Straits open up. We're going to have international discussions about who gets the oil that they think is up there, Canada, Russia, United States. So there are a host of reasons why, whether or not you believe humans are part of the problem, we need to start taking this issue very seriously. And I can't really believe that any thoughtful person at this point in time will sit back and say, well, it doesn't happen. And I also don't think that really thoughtful people will sit back and say that humans have no impact. It's not to say humans cause climate change. I'm very careful to say that the Earth has been changing since it was formed. But to think that our activities have not exacerbated a natural trend, have not put such pressure on nature that it's occurring much faster than it has in the past, nature can't accommodate, and neither can we. And there's some very serious thoughts and decisions that have to be made. And these have they have real implications for us and threaten the physical, economic, and health infrastructure. We'll see different kinds of diseases. We'll see all sorts of things happening that mean big things for how we allocate our resources, not just the military, but how we allocate our resources, Department of Health, and through everything that we do in the federal government. And it's just time that we start to take this issue very seriously. So I'm delighted to be part of this effort by the American Security Project to really bring this issue up and to make people look at this in seriously understanding that we have a growing capacity within government to respond and prepare for these things, but it's coming at us now so fast, it's coming at us so hard that it puts enormous pressure on the resources we do have, and that has to be part of decision-making going forward. So with that, I will stop because I know we want people to be able to have an opportunity to ask questions, but I just want to reiterate, I think this is enormously important to have this discussion and to have it now and to get people to understand, you know, we're not waving a red flag saying, oh, my Lord, this is all because of climate change. But I think we have to understand that this is the kind of thing that can be caused by climate change. The reason the storm stalled is because of what was coming down high-pressure area from the north. That's part of that. The scientists will tell you that could be due to climate change. So there, we need to know a lot more, but we need to understand that we can take some action to slow climate change, not stop it, but slow it, and that's probably in our best interest.
Governor, great comments. I really appreciate it. We're fortunate to have with us this afternoon Andrew Holland, who's a co-author of the report. Catherine Foley was the other co-author, and she's traveling in Europe at the time. And I'm going to ask Andrew just to make a quick comment or two.
Great. Thank you. And thanks to Governor Whitman. It's a real honor to be on the same call as her.
Thank you.
I grew up in New Jersey.
All right. Come on back.
But just to say that there's a couple of parts of the report that I wanted to underscore that are new, and this is a report that grew out of a 2009 report that we did, and a lot has happened in the world since then. Most notably, I think, is the Arab Spring. Now, nobody's going to say that the Arab Spring is only because of climate change, but we find in the report that there is a clear link between the price of food and the likelihood of riots and of civil unrest. And, you know, like I said, nobody's going to say climate change leads directly to events like the Arab Spring. Certainly there's a lot of things going on in the Arab Spring, but it does provide the underlying rationale for things like the Arab Spring. And especially, I'd encourage you all to look in the report at Syria. Syria is a very interesting case of a 5-year-long epic drought in much of their grain growing breadbasket, and that was directly linked to migration into the cities and possibly to the unrest we're seeing now. The second section of the report that I'd highlight for you all is our military basing and climate change section, where we highlight American military bases that are at direct risk from climate change. Now, not only from sea level rise, extreme weather, extreme events, that sort of thing. The five that we highlight as the most vulnerable, and I'd note that these are in no particular order. First is Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean, Bahrain in the Persian Gulf, Guam in the Pacific, Eglin Air Force Base in Florida on the Gulf Coast, and Norfolk Naval Air Station in Hampton Roads, Virginia. I would just highlight those as important areas that the Department of Defense should consider when they look at the effects of climate change on their force structure and on basing. With that, I think we can go ahead.
Sure. Just a quick comment, Steve Cheney here. When you look at the flooding that occurred at LaGuardia and how much underwater it was, and then you look at the Naval Air Station down in Norfolk, which is right on the bay, you can truly understand that place is very susceptible to climate change and flooding. With that, we'd like to open it up to any questions you might have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You'll be placed into the queue in the order received. Please be prepared to ask your question when prompted. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone now. Our first question comes from Doug Obey from Inside EPA. Please state your question.
Hi. My question is about one part of the report, sort of I think it's around page 50 or so. It talks about a possible national adaptation plan. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on what kind of thinking is going on in that area. And the only other question I just wanted to ask is, are you directing most of your concern in this report towards climate adaptation, or is limiting emissions part of the equation? Thanks. Bye.
I'll jump in with the specifics first, and this is Andrew Holland, and then I'll let General Cheney or Governor Whitman say anything else. With regards to the National Adaptation Plan, I know that this is something that it has been talked about in the White House, and there is a interagency working group that is moving on this. But at the same time, this is an agency level thing, as I understand. I don't know that there's high level political movement on it. But you can follow up with me, and we can dig a little bit more in that. And in terms of adaptation or mitigation or anything like that, I think we wanted to highlight the national security aspects of it and let the politicians worry about the response.
Yeah, Steve Cheney here. When you talk about emission, obviously man is contributing in some way, shape, or manner to climate change, and there's a lot of studies out there and a lot of proof of how that's been done, and a lot of talk about carbon emissions. ESP today is not going to stand up and necessarily say cap and trade or here's what you do about carbon emissions, but we do think that it needs to be recognized, certainly on Capitol Hill and certainly among the general public, that we're contributing to it, and they've got to do something about it. And there is a severe national security implication to this whole thing. So that's where we come from it today on this particular report. Governor, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I don't think so. You've covered that one pretty completely.
Thank you. John, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Our next question comes from Sandra Irwin from the National Defense Magazine. Please state your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to ask Andrew specifically on the section in the study that deals with national security and the idea that you would need to strengthen the infrastructure of the United States to be more secure. You're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars in investments. In this climate of cutting spending and deficit reduction, I mean, who's going to be out there pushing for these investments? And is this something that maybe the Department of Defense can jump into this debate in any way and try to encourage some of these investments? What are your thoughts on that?
I would note first that infrastructure spending, for the most part, is a win-win across the board there. Our infrastructure is in major need of investment anyway. The American Society of Civil Engineers just came out with their report, I think, a year ago and gave us a D-plus for the state of our national infrastructure. And that's not even taking climate change into account. So I would say that look, we need to do a lot better on updating and upgrading our infrastructure across the board. Whether that's a Department of Defense priority, that's not for me to decide. The Department of Defense is focused on fighting and winning America's wars. To the extent that climate change should be taken into account as a possible threat multiplier or accelerant of instability, something that will cause future wars, that's something they need to be involved with. To the other side, I think this is probably more something that, Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, those sorts of agencies should have a portion in the planning process.
If I may jump in here,
sure.
It's going to take political will, and it's up to those who are making these decisions to decide what is more important. Can you spend some money at prevention? I mean, we're looking at literally billions of dollars of cost from this most recent storm from Sandy. You look back at the insurance companies called last year Annas Horribles because of all the payouts that they had to do because of devastating storms. there comes a point where you have to say your best spent money is that that's put into prevention, and that you can do it intelligently. Yes, it's going to be a strain because we all know the budgets are very, very tight. But this is where it takes some leadership to say this is something that makes sense for all of us.
Governor Steve Cheney, I couldn't agree more. Of course, we specifically list some bases in there that are going to be or could be potentially dramatically impacted by climate change. I used to command Parris Island. We had to evacuate that in 97 for a threatened Hurricane Floyd. So the Department of Defense clearly understands that there's going to be an impact, and they know that. And in terms of declining resources, I would think they're going to want to protect that investment that they've got in the infrastructure, and they've got to protect those bases at a start and then think about doing about protecting the rest of their infrastructure. Sandra, does that get to answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones now. At this time, I have no further questions.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody's participation today. We think it's an important topic, obviously. Governor, I want to thank you for being on the call and all your support for the American Security Project and our work on climate change.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate the work that's being done.